Let us pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to you today in the name of your Son. We come confidently and we come in faith, but we also recognize that you're the great God of the universe and that you rule both heaven and earth. So we approach you with awe and wonder. We can't begin to comprehend you and your awesome power and wisdom, but we can trust you and know that you do all things well. You're too wise to make a mistake, and you're too good to be unkind. Your word tells us that as the heavens are far above the earth, so are your ways above our ways, and your ways are past finding out. You are the sure foundation of our faith and even of our very lives, so we can say with confidence, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Help us to trust and rest secure in you. Lord, we're reaching out to you, and we know you're already reaching out to us. We need you, and we need to feel the sense of your presence. We each need you in our own individual lives. You know us, Lord, and you look down inside us in our emotions and our minds. You see our joys and our sorrows. You see our frustrations and our fears. You see our strengths and our weaknesses. You see our victories and our failures. And in spite of all that, you still love us, and you still want to work out your will and your plans and purposes for us. We pray for those who have lost loved ones recently and need the comforting presence of the Holy Spirit. Be to all of them the special help they need this very day. There are many with serious physical needs. You are the great physician, and we pray for your healing touch on their bodies. They also need the encouragement of your presence. We pray for our community and for the many areas of need. We pray for an awakening and for revival that will change people's hearts and minds and cause them to turn to you. We're sure that would change many things all around us, and that's what we need and what we pray for. We pray for our nation, for our president and the leaders in government, and for those in the courts of our land. These are momentous days and times of great need. Have mercy on us, O God. We pray for your word. It is as it is preached around the world. Many of our Christian brothers and sisters are suffering persecution for their faith. We pray their faith may not fail, but they may be strong in their stand for you. We pray for our elders and deacons this morning. Touch their hearts and minds and spirits and enable them to serve in ways that you have inspired. For we ask all this in your holy name. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is found in Job chapter 38, verses 1 through 7. And 34 through 41. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, "Who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you, "Here we are"? Who gives the abyss wisdom or gives the rooster understanding? Who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Who can tip over the water jars of the heavens when the dust becomes hard and the clods of earth stick together? Do you hunt the prey for the lioness and satisfy the hunger of the lions when they crouch in their dens or lie in wait in a thicket? Who provides food for the raven when its young cry out to God and wander about for lack of food?
Thank you, Jean. I appreciate that. Interesting confrontation that Job has with God. Have you ever had a confrontation with God? Or felt like you did? This passage brings up the question, who and what are we? We found out last week we are just a little lower than the angels. We're not gods. So who and what then? Have you ever asked a child this question? I love the story of the boy sitting on his father's lap as they were looking into the mirror. The boy said to his dad, "Dad, who made me?" He said, "God made you, son." He said, "Dad, who made you?" He said, "God made me, son." He said, "Dad, who made granddad?" He said, "God made him, son." He said, "Dad, who made great-granddad?" He said, "God made him, son. Why do you ask?" The boy took one look back in the mirror and said, "Well, it just seems to me he keeps doing a better and better job." First and foremost, perhaps we are God's creations. We've been given life from God, and we have been given gifts and graces from our God. And many of us, when we're asked who or what we are, first thing that comes to our mind is, "I'm a judge," or "I'm an attorney," or "I'm retired," or "I'm a homemaker." How many of us say, "I'm God's creation, I'm God's child"? Do you know what your gifts and graces are? Can you tell what your children's gifts and graces are? If you have siblings, did you recognize their gifts and graces as you were growing up? When my oldest boy was 10, he used some super glue on a model car he was building. In less than a minute, his right index finger was bonded to the shiny blue hood of a Corvette. He tried to free it. He tugged on it, he pulled it, waved it frantically, but he couldn't get his finger free. Soon we located a solvent that did the job and ended our little crisis. It reminded me of a family that I had visited the night before in my congregation. The mother introduced her children to me like this. "This is Pete. He's the clumsy one of the lot. And that's Kathy coming in with mud on her shoes. She's the sloppy one. As always, Mike's last. He'll be late for his own funeral, I promise you." The mother did a thorough job of gluing her children to their faults and mistakes. People do it to us and to those we love all the time. They remind us of our failures, our errors, our sins, and they won't let us live them down. Like my oldest boy trying frantically to free his finger from the car hood, there are people who try sometimes desperately to free themselves from their past. They would love a chance to begin again. Again, I ask you, do you remember your children's or siblings' gifts and graces, or do you remember their mistakes, failures, errors, and sins? In our text, we read God's word to Job. And it makes me wonder how you might sum this up. Could we say that what truly offended God is Job's recounting of what God did to him rather than what God had done for him? Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone? While the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy. Is God saying that Job is a nobody, a nothing? Certainly not. Not at all. It would appear that God is saying, remember your place, youngster. What we will find later in this wonderful book is that God takes the broken Job and uplifts him once again. You see, God uses broken things. He takes broken soil. It takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to give rain, broken grain to give bread, and broken bread to give strength. It is the broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. It is Peter weeping bitterly who returns to greater power than ever. It is the broken Job that returns to his former strength. God communicates with us every day. He tries to reach into our hearts to change us, to mold us, to repair us. Unfortunately, all too often, we don't listen or we misunderstand what God would have us know. I'm going to tell you a story. Happened in medieval Italy. Good Christian merchants of Rome were losing business to the Jewish merchants. Things finally got so bad that the Christians decided to go right to the top for relief. And so they requested an audience with the Holy Father, where they demanded that he do something to run the Jews out of town. The Holy Father contemplated the situation a moment and then proposed that the dispute be decided through a debate. He would debate with one of the Jews for 3 rounds. If the Pope won the debate, the Jews would have 3 days to get out of town. If he lost, then the Jewish merchants could stay. This delighted the Christian merchants, since they saw little chance that the Holy Father would be beaten, even though the terms of the debate were quite peculiar. You see, the Jewish merchants were such fantastic salesmen and so good with words that there would be no speaking aloud, only gestures. The Jewish merchants were aghast when they heard of the challenge. Who would they get to counter the Pope? As they all bemoaned their fate down at the Jewish pub, one rose up from their number, Shlomo, who had by that time gained some boldness through the spirits, volunteered that he would take on the Pope. And so the debate was set. On the appointed day, the papal entourage gathered in front of St. Peter's, while the now too sober Shlomo and his band lined up opposite them. The Pope began the debate. He said, and Shlomo said, that ended round one. Now round two began. The Pope said, Shlomo said, that ended round two. Round three begins. At this point, the Holy Father brought out the holy sacraments and set them before himself. Shlomo looked bewildered for a moment, then reached up the loose sleeve of his garment and withdrew an apple. With that, the Pope announced the debate had ended and the Jews could stay. Of course, the Christian merchants were beside themselves, wondering what in the world had gone on. So they cornered the Pope and demanded, "What in the world did you say to each other?" The Pope replied, "It went like this. I said, the Creator of the whole universe is present with us." And he replied, "God is here." And he is right. Next, I said, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. And he replied, God is one. And he is right. Then I set out the sacraments to say, Jesus Christ has taken away the sin of the world. And he drew out the apple of the garden to say, sin is still with us. And he is right. So he won the debate, and the Jews can stay. Meanwhile, there was a celebration going on at the pub where all the Jewish merchants had gathered around Shlomo asking him how he had won. He answered, I'm not sure. The Pope said, all you Jews are going to have to leave town right away. And I said, we're staying right here. Next, the Pope said, after 3 days, there better not be one Jew left in this town. That made me mad. And I said, not one Jew is going to leave. Shlomo's friends gasped. And then what happened? Then Shlomo said, scratching his head, he took out his lunch and I took out mine. Oftentimes God will say to us beautiful and wonderful things, and he's giving us a message. But what we hear is different, and what we do is different. And so God says, I've given you the earth. Take care of this. And we do everything we can to the earth, trying to get what we want from it. God says, I've given you a spouse. Take care of him or her. And sometimes we neglect them, or our children. And God is saying to us, this is what I want for you. And we're saying, oh, don't try to kick me out of town. We don't always understand life's messages from God. Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. He said, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? How true. Sometimes we say things and we don't even know what we're talking about. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Who and what are we? God reminds us that we are his creation. We question God and we're questioning the very being that created each and every one of us. Are we broken at times? Yes. Yet our God makes us useful. Do we have trouble understanding what God expects of us at times? Sure. But our God does speak to us in spite of our hearing problems. So should anyone ever ask you who and what you are, simply say, I am what I am. God's creation. Now I know that may sound to some like Popeye theology, but Popeye was wise in many ways, because you know what? We are what we are. We are God's creation, and nothing can change that. And we have a God who loves us and forgives us, and we share a meal because of his love. Let us pray. Gracious God, we know that you are the great I am. And we know that we are what we are, your creation. We ask that you be with us, that you strengthen us, and in times when we do not understand what you are saying to us, please be patient. For we are not always attentive and oftentimes distracted and choose to go our own way. Forgive us for our sins. Help us to be the best that we can be for you. For we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen.